session. You may be seated. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Your Honor, we are on the record of docket number SJ2021-0129, Graham and others versus the District Attorney of Camden County. Your Honor, to your left, representing the District Attorney of Camden County is Attorney Thomas Hoops and Attorney Elizabeth Mulvey. Your Honor, to your right, representing Mr. Graham and others is Attorney Matthew Siegel, an attorney from the ACLU, and Attorney Rebecca Jacobstein from the Committee for Public Counsel Services. Justice Wendlandt is presiding. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you, Clerk Cronin, because I have come to the right place, it turns out. So I know somebody asked for a status hearing. I can't remember who. But I have wanted to sort of preface this by saying I thank you for your cooperation with the special master in that process. I have read her 70-odd page report. I have gotten your objections and the responses there too. So I'm fully up to speed on where we are, I think. As I understand it, this hearing was called really to review those responses, and I think I have a written record, and that's really all I need. I don't need any attorney arguments. If it's not in writing, I don't want to hear about it, unless there are further areas of agreement. So with that said, that's my agenda for today, as well as hearing from you if there are any updates that you want to give me. Otherwise, I think I have what I need in writing in order to rule on your objections and the responses, unless, as I say, there are further areas of agreement. So with that, I think, Mr. Siegel, do you want to take the floor to see if there's anything you have to add?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I don't think I have a ton to add.
Excellent.
With respect to, I'll take maybe the second part of your comments first, which I'm not sure that we have further areas of agreement.
Okay.
But with respect to I will confess to you that we are the ones who asked for the status conference. And
I would have figured that out anyway, in due course.
It's me. I'm the problem. So the reason we did that was that we wanted to just make something clear, which is that we put in these objections merely because we think that particularly if the case is going to have some life going forward, we've asked that it be reserved and reported. We just want to make sure that whatever is presented to Your Honor and any other judge is as accurate as can be. But the fact that we submitted these objections does not mean that we think, you know, this entire case hinges on them. What we think is that no matter how Your Honor resolves those objections, the special master's report and the record as a whole provide a solid foundation to reserve and report some really profound and important questions. And on top of that, there is never going to be a case with a better record for addressing those questions. The scope of any record that could be developed in an individual criminal matter is going to pale in comparison to this record. So even if there are gaps, even if the parties don't agree on everything, we're confident that we're not going to do better than what we've got here. And the issues are vitally important. What we understand is that any failure to ensure the complete disclosure of this underlying evidence to criminal defendants would amount to, quote, trampling on the constitutional rights of thousands of individual defendants. So that quote, which acknowledges that this case about thousands of people and not, let's say, six, It doesn't come from us. That's a quote that I was reading from the district attorney's brief to Judge Gorton in its federal case, which pursues some of the documents at issue here. So all I want to say is that particularly in light of the gravity of some of the issues here, we think that this is the right case to reserve and report these issues. And I will just, in by way of two updates on that, one is we cited the DOJ investigation of Worcester in our objections, not to say that this court ought to undertake some fact-finding mission regarding Worcester, but merely to say that right now, as I stand here, we're nearly 3 months out from 3 years out from when the DOJ published its report about Springfield, and we're certain it doesn't seem that we've yet reached agreement on what a district attorney has to do when such a report comes out. And I think it would be a shame if there's a further report, a further investigation, and it takes another 3 years after that report for anyone to understand what the obligations are of a district attorney. The other thing I will say, I'm not sure if this is a point of agreement exactly, but my understanding is there was an argument earlier this month in a case called Khafib before the full court, and at that argument there were a couple of justices who asked about the implications of the DOJ report concerning Springfield for a defendant's request for evidence. In that case, it was evidence concerning an allegation of racial profiling. And the district attorney, the Hamden County district attorney's response was that the DOJ report is relevant to a defendant's request for evidence. And so I think that was an appropriate concession. And the question is, how is it relevant when there are, as the district attorney has said, thousands of defendants who may not have received all the evidence to which they're entitled under Brady and similar cases? And given that justices of the court are asking those questions, I don't think we're going to be able to give them a better record than the one that exists now in this case.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mulvey, any?
I'm not used to being the longer-winded one, but I think that it's important in this case to sort of talk about how we got here and what's happened since we were last here. In a way, I feel like I'm playing whack-a-mole because every time we're in front of a judge, something different is being asked for. The original petition posited a crisis in the Hamden County criminal justice system, and it asked for essentially three types of relief: an order that an investigation be conducted into the Springfield Police Department, some sort of remedy for, quote, the routine non-disclosure of exculpatory evidence by the Hamden County District Attorney, and a remedy for an unknown number of defendants whose constitutional rights were actively being impeded. Since we were here, a bunch of things have happened. First of all, as I said, the goalposts are moving on a daily basis, right up to the point where the objections cite two pleadings that were filed after the evidentiary hearing closed, plus a report or a DOJ press release about an investigation in another county. Hamden County is not Worcester County's keeper. The issues are different. I mean, it's just, how many things am I supposed to address? Putting that aside, after a long collaborative process, this court's rules committee issued major revisions to proposed Rule 14, which addressed directly the issues involved in this case. It was out for public comment. I don't know what the status is now, but I assume either the committee's reviewing the comments or the court's reviewing the committee's review of the comments. But that's a collaborative rulemaking process established by the court, and that should be the first place where changes to disclosure procedures go. The relief sought apparently by the ACLU here goes far beyond what the committee saw fit to recommend to this court. And I don't think, respectfully, that this is the appropriate forum to to go doing that, especially without seeing how Rule 14 in its new form will work. The special master heard 5 days of evidence and issued a lot of findings that basically eliminate the original petition's factual basis for relief. And the Hamden County District Attorney has sent exculpatory materials to 7,000 or 8,000 criminal defense counsel. So now they're asking for the full court to review this matter, and I guess I don't see what the point of that is, what the court could do. The court respectfully cannot order the DA to conduct an investigation, and as Judge Fabricant found, the DA doesn't have the resources to repeat a 2.5-year investigation that the DOJ has already done. With respect to the routine non-disclosure, Judge Fabricant gave them an enormous amount of latitude going back more than 20 years to come up with anything that they could, and they didn't come up with much. And just as an example, one of the cases they're still talking about was a 2008 case that 3 different district attorneys, including one who's now a federal judge, did not think should be disclosed. And more importantly, the lawyer who represented the defendant in this case, that case, David Hoos, is president of the Hamden County Lawyers for Justice, never used it in a single case, never distributed it to his colleagues to use, never gave it to his organization. And that feeds directly into, I think, a really important point that Your Honor expressed way back when, which was, are there defendants whose rights are being impeded? And Your Honor did note that at best these would be impeachment materials. Now, I haven't seen much in the Mass Guide to Evidence that would let this stuff be used as impeachment, but you know, grand jury leaves some wiggle room in there, and the DA's been disclosing. But despite the fact that the DA's disclosed these DOJ documents or the underlying Springfield documents to 7,000 or 8,000 defendants, there is no evidence that a single defendant has tried to make use of them in any case. And more importantly, there's testimony in the record from 2 of the lawyers who submitted affidavits. One of them said, yeah, I got the stuff and I put it in a box on my desk and I never looked at it. And the other said, I looked at it and it was useless. So in theory, could there be some Brady material in there? Yeah, but that's not what's happening in Springfield County, Massachusetts. It's just not happening. And they had plenty of opportunity to show a single defendant who'd been affected by some non-disclosure, and they didn't do it. So really, what we have is, I think, a policy debate about the scope of Rule 14 and Brady obligations. And without taking a position on the various policy issues, you know, at what point should a judge's finding that somebody was untruthful be disclosed? There are all kinds of really interesting legal issues. But I don't think that this is the forum to resolve them. I think they ought to either go through the rulemaking process, and Rule 14, last time I saw it, didn't require disclosure of a judge's decision.
It doesn't decide that one way or the other.
Well, but it doesn't. It's a live issue. It's not in there. And the second place is, as I've said from the beginning, in a case-by-case basis when you're looking at a specific set of facts. I guess the last thing I would say is I was kind of surprised to hear that this was the best factual record they could get, because frankly, if I represented these petitioners, I would be back at my office looking for a better set of facts, because we have here extensive findings that the DA does a pretty good job. Is the DA perfect? No. But is there any routine non-disclosure? Is there any evidence of rights being trampled upon? There is not. And so I would ask the court to dismiss the petition at this point, because I just don't think on this factual record that there's any relief that the court could grant. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes, Mr. Siegel. I understand your position that you want me to reserve and report this to the full court. So if you're just going to say that one.
No, Your Honor. I am not. I tried in the opening remarks to avoid making any argument with respect to the record because I understood Your Honor to be saying that that's not what we're doing today. But I do feel compelled to just correct some misstatements that were just made because that was not an accurate account of our case or the record. We worked together with counsel for the DA to propose jointly four questions. We agreed at that time as part of the negotiation process to narrow the case somewhat, and we proposed those four questions. Those are still the four questions that we asked to be reported to the court. That was from February 22. So for nearly a year, the precise questions that we wish reported to the court have not been a mystery to the DA. They were, in fact, agreed upon together with us, and they haven't changed. Now, I understand, as a whole, they want the case to be dismissed, but there's not a mystery about what the case is about. On the record, I will just say, because of some remarks that were just made, the petition's allegations, particularly with respect to the withholding of evidence, have been completely vindicated and are in the special master's report. The dispute is about whether that withholding was lawful. That's a legal question. So let me just, we alleged substantial misconduct. The DA has conceded in its lawsuit in federal court that the SPD has committed the kind of misconduct that warrants the disclosure of evidence. We alleged in our petition at page 6 that the Commonwealth had never conducted an investigation. The special master found, and the DA has conceded, that that's true. That's at page 67 of the special master's report. We alleged in our petition at page 17 that the DA had no formal policies or procedures during the entire time that this misconduct was occurring. They had no Brady policy. The special master found at page 27 to 28 and 69 they had no policies nor training materials nor instructions concerning Brady during the entire period of this misconduct and until August 2022. We allege in our petition that there was the systemic non-disclosure of evidence following the DOJ report. That's at page 29 of our petition. The special master found, and the DA has conceded, that it made no disclosures of evidence pursuant to the DOJ report until we sued. When we were here in front of Your Honor in July 2021, they told Your Honor that they had just gotten the evidence. There was an affidavit submitted dated May 2021 in which Jennifer Fitzgerald told Your Honor, on April 26th, the city promised me some documents. We now know that we have the email. We got it from a public records request to the city of Springfield, not from the DA. The email in which, yes, on April 26th, after we sued, the city agreed to release the documents from the Kent Memorandum. Of course, the Kent report is still withheld. We alleged withholding of entire categories of information. At page 17, we said we couldn't find a single case where the DA had disclosed adverse judicial findings regarding an officer's credibility. We now know that's because the DA has a policy of not disclosing adverse credibility determinations that are made pretrial if it concludes that the judge was wrong. That's at page 43 to 46 of the special master's report and Jennifer Fitzgerald's testimony at page 1000 of the transcripts. We alleged at pages 17 to 20 that we could find no cases in which the DA disclosed the SPD reports concerning the Nathan Bills incident. The special master found at pages 20 to 21 that there is an entire binder of materials that the DA possessed but never disclosed to criminal defendants. It withheld those materials in February 2017 when it released its own report. It withheld those materials after some of the police officers were indicted. And Jennifer Fitzgerald testified that she understood that those materials named Billingsley and Christian Cicero specifically. They withheld them. The litigation has also revealed facts we didn't even know to allege. We didn't know that the Kent report existed as of October 2020 when we filed this lawsuit. We know it now. We didn't know that the Kent report, that all the the entire system of disclosure on which this case rests was written by a member of the Narcotics Bureau. That's news to us. We didn't know that the city had told the DA's office about that report in March 2021. We didn't know that for years the DA had been withholding a much broader set of materials concerning Detective Bigda, including the Wilbraham police report we appended to our objections. We didn't know about that. We didn't know that that report and other materials, a much broader set of materials, that's pages 1,022 to 25 of the transcript and special master's report at page 20, we didn't know that those materials were all withheld. And we didn't know when I would later ask First Assistant District Attorney whether it was misconduct for Big to tell a Latino teenager, welcome to the white man's world, she would testify, quote, I don't believe that comment is misconduct. That's at page 1,018. So there's been a comment made about what our clients would feel. And I guess our clients feel that the petition has been fully vindicated. And the question is, what are the legal implications of the facts that have been uncovered? Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I think I've heard everything that I need to hear. And I will take the matter under advisement and get back to you, hopefully shortly.
Hold on, guys.